This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia, the place you need to be for the next hour for information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact.
And if you want to get your ideas or you want to help others get theirs into action, you are in the right place for the next 60 minutes. If you need to get out of your head and get things done, then stay tuned for the next hour. Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson. They call me the Maven of Implementation, and I'm honored that you've chosen to spend your most valuable resource in your life, your time with me today. This show is about ideas, getting, clarifying, implementing, and supporting ideas. You see, I interview people who've put ideas into action, realized their dream, achieved their goals, and followed through with their intentions to bring you best practices that you can use right away to actively create your own success. And I interview experts in a wide range of fields who are resources for you to call on to make an income and an impact with your ideas. And today, I have one of those experts, one of those resources with me, and you're going to enjoy the conversation that we're going to have. I have Dr. Marilee Adams, the author of Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, and a lot of other things. So Dr. Marilee Adams, welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia.
Thank you, Sylvia. I'm very much looking forward to this conversation today.
And let me, for those who are not looking at a screen or a write-up, I will kind of give the description of the program. We titled the program, Ask Better Questions, Take Greater Action, and Implement More Awesome Ideas. And the description says, more awesome ideas, how might yours translate to greater income and impact? But first, what questions do you ask to get and take action on your ideas? So join Dr. Marilee Adams, author of Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, as she shares how to ask better and different questions that may help you bring your more awesome ideas to life. And so, Marilee, we will go on first name basis from here on. And the question that I ask everyone, all of my guests, I know you gave me a nice bio, but I'm going to ask you to just say in your own words, you know, my listeners all know that I'm about ideas. And I ask every guest every time, sort of, what's the idea that launched your business, that launched what you do now? And how did you, you know, a little bit about it, how you got to the point you are right now?
Okay. It's actually more complicated than you might imagine, but I will make it simple. The power of questions is so important and so undervalued and often not even recognized. Add to that, and this was, so now I'm pointing to the idea, my idea behind the idea, is that even when people recognize the importance of questions in their professional lives and their personal lives, most of the time people are not aware that they're also asking themselves questions. In other words, when you say to someone, are questions important and what are they important for, they will understandably talk to you about the questions that you ask them, they ask you, people ask each other, interpersonal questions. Of course, they're critical. Behind those questions is a whole world of questions that we ask ourselves. I call that question thinking. And we're asking ourselves those questions all the time. So if we don't recognize that we're asking ourselves questions and we don't recognize the impact of the questions we're asking ourselves, then we have automatically compromised our ability to ask effective questions to others and to take effective actions based on those questions and on our ideas. So the central idea is question thinking, fortifying question asking and fortifying being able to get the kinds of results that you want.
And we're going to go a lot more in depth into this question thinking concept, but just a few of your creds so that listeners know that you are an author, an executive coach, facilitator, and a professional speaker, and that you are president and founder of the Inquiry Institute, which is a consulting, coaching, and educational organization, and you are the originator of question thinking methodologies that we're going to go into that more in depth. You also, you know, change your thinking, change your life, change your questions, change your life is not your only book. So you've got multiple others and textbooks, and you hit the teaching, the educational world with teaching that changes lives, and several other, oh my goodness, several other publications. I don't know if you want to mention any specifically or any other.
No, I think you've hit in points, Sylvia. I would add that I'm an adjunct professor at American University, and I teach an in-depth leadership course. And that course is based on all the same principles and practices that we're going to talk about today. And, of course, we are leaders in our own lives as well as leaders in the organizations that we either started or the organizations that we work in.
Okay. Yes, we are, and that's a lot of my listeners are such, whether they're leaders in a company or a nonprofit or their volunteer world. A lot of us are leaders somewhere in there. Let me say, I'm going to introduce the book, to introduce Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, at the focus of the day. I want to read just a snippet from a couple of paragraphs of the foreword so that listeners know why I was so excited about talking to you about questions. Marshall Goldsmith wrote the foreword to your book, which was impressive. So he says about the topic, he says, to begin with, Merrill Lee shows how we can become more effective and efficient by focusing on learning rather than judging. And we're going to talk about that a little more, too. Merrill Lee shows us the power of questions to direct our thinking and therefore our actions and results. This means we can intentionally, and I like that word, intentionally affect the future by designing the most powerful questions for getting us there. And those sentences struck me because I'm about helping people get ideas, and my tagline, out of your head and into action. And so anything that helps people intentionally affect the future, well, that kind of intentionally affects the success of getting their ideas out into the world. So I thought, some of the technique I use is asking questions to pull information out. Let me learn how to do this more effectively, and let me help others do that. So that's why you're here.
Good. Very good.
So to get right into it, and we're going to hear slightly in the background, my office assistant. So anybody who's listening, just bear with it. My four-legged office assistant. Get right into it. So for whom is the book written? You know, are the tools and the techniques that you present, are they mainly for coaches and consultants and educators, or are they for anybody?
Well, the book is written as a business fable, so it's a story. And it is followed by a workbook of practical tools. All of the tools are also integrated into the story. So the story is about a guy who is promoted to a very high executive position and is failing. And then what he goes through and what he learns from his coach in order to succeed. And there are also a few chapters in the book about how he shares that same information with his wife, and his marriage, of course, in the beginning is a little shaky, and he uses this material to help there too. I did that format to indicate that the material in the book is useful in our professional lives and in our personal lives. It is very typical that in a workshop that I give, particularly the multi-day ones, that people will say, gee, this was the best workshop I ever went to, but I'll tell you what I care about the most. And then they go on to tell me how they've used that material with their spouses and with their kids and with their in-laws and in their volunteer work in different organizations. And so over the years, I've gotten emails from people in just about every walk of life about how they've used the ideas. And what they say pretty uniformly is that this was so practical and simple, and why haven't I heard about this before? So the answer to your question, Sylvia, is while the book is focused in a professional way for the most part, it has gained traction really all over the world for people both professionally and personally, which, of course, is very gratifying.
Great, yes. And actually, I love the fables and the story because, well, obviously, we learn through stories the best. But also, the book did show how we could apply the concepts in a couple of different ways. It covered corporate, it covered Ben as an individual in a company, and it also talked about that personal, yes, the personal aspect. And if we have the time, I want to kind of get into each of those a little bit.
Okay, great.
So the foundation of the work seems to be about question thinking, and that's what you started out talking about anyway, and that seems to be what led you to doing what you're doing. So a little bit more in depth, what is question thinking? It almost sounds like an oxymoron in a way. But
so question thinking simply refers to the questions that we ask ourselves. What most people don't realize is that we're asking ourselves questions moment by moment by moment. And the answers that we come up with, and this is all in our thinking, are typically what we call thoughts. So if our thoughts are effective, then we will end up being able to take effective actions and get effective results. If our thoughts are not, then we won't. So what I'm saying is that the origin of the answers we get are the questions we ask ourselves, and that we do this on a moment-by-moment basis. And let me give you an example to make this concrete, that I can practically guarantee that you and everyone out there has asked yourselves a lot of questions today and probably haven't noticed all of them or some of them. And the reason I can guarantee that is that you are dressed and you're dressed appropriately. And some of you are saying, well, what is she talking about? Which, of course, is a question. And here's what I'm talking about. When you went to get dressed this morning, you went to your closet or your drawers, or if you're traveling, your suitcase, or maybe if you were very tired last night, your clothes are on the floor. But you go to where your clothes are, and you ask yourself a series of questions that include some of the following. What am I doing today? What will be appropriate? What will be comfortable? What is the weather? What am I doing later? Perhaps what's clean? So you ask yourself a series of questions, and then something interesting happens. We answer our questions in a nanosecond in our mind, and then we make a decision. Then what we do is take an action based on that decision, which is that you reached for whatever clothes and jewelry or whatever you're wearing right now, and you are, in effect, wearing your answer. So the result that you have, what you're wearing, if you peel back behind it, were a series of questions and answers, which is very much like the decision-making process we go through all the time with everything. So, Sylvia, do you have any questions about what I just said?
That is very interesting, because you're right. Of course you're right. You're right. We do ask. Goodness, now you're going to make me wonder how many questions I'm asking in a day, because you're right, we don't think about it. Oh, my goodness.
But you know, how exciting that is, because to be able to identify an element of our thinking that we already have, that we carry with us all the time, and learn ways to make it more effective, that means that we can be effective and more satisfied all the time by simply learning how to identify the questions, how to analyze them for effectiveness, how to recraft them if we want different experiences and results, and then to have the courage and willingness to ask them.
Now, here's a sidebar that my mind just went towards. I'm a sci-fi, well, I'm a Star Trek fan. So I'm thinking, okay, no wonder there is such difficulty in making a computer with artificial intelligence if we ask thousands of questions a day. How in the world do they replicate that, you know, technologically? And you don't have to answer that because that went off on a side thought. But just put that into perspective a little bit.
There was a quote at the moment, I'm forgetting who said it, but he said, computers are useless. They only give us answers. Now, truthfully, some of the more advanced artificial intelligence today, I think, is working around the edges of that. It'll be fascinating to see what comes up, but your insight is right on.
Goodness. And so I know you mentioned you have a quote in chapter five and beyond in the book. So, hey, you have a quote there that says, action follows questions. And that sort of highlights what you just said.
Exactly. So here are two other quotes or sayings I have that I use frequently. One is, great results begin with great questions, on the one hand. And on the other hand, every question missed is a potential crisis waiting to happen.
Ooh,
and they're both
okay.
True.
Have to think about that second one. So that means that something, if we haven't asked a question that's possibly an answer that we haven't had a chance to act on or consider or anticipate, it sounds like.
Exactly. So if you apply that to the point of your show, which is to take effective action for effective results based on these great ideas, well, there are many questions that need to be asked about each of those ideas and about all those actions. And if you miss questions, that's an area where thinking has not occurred. Therefore, you can't make any plans and you can't make any backup plans. So more questions you can surface about what you're already asking without having realized it, and then what you could be asking, turns out to be extremely powerful, both in terms of every day, but even in terms of thinking strategically and making strategic plans.
How do you know when, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, how do you know when you've asked enough questions and almost along with that, can you ask too many as we're thinking about getting ideas out of people's heads?
Well, let's put the too many aside for a minute because it's a different category of answer for those.
Okay.
It's not easy to know when you've asked enough. And that's why, let's say this is some kind of business initiative. And Sylvia, should we use as a sample context smaller businesses or larger businesses? Which is more of your audience?
I'd say the majority of audiences, the listeners, are either solo practices or maybe staff of 1 to 5 people, a smaller business. That's the typical listener.
Okay, great. So I'll use that as a context and also note that if I had not asked you that question and gotten that information, then I might have been giving you examples that more accurately apply to large organizations and wouldn't be relevant or helpful to your listeners.
Oh, goodness. Yes, I didn't even think of that. You asked me your question. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I ask lots of questions. I don't know how to function in the world without them. It's how we gather information. It's how we build relationships. It's how we communicate. It's how we plan. And it's also how we speak to others in such a way that they come up with better thinking, which is what leaders do, as well as coaches.
True. Okay. So
I can I can practically feel your brain spinning on the air through the telephone.
That's because I've got questions.
No, but I think that's great.
So, oh, goodness. Okay, I kind of already asked about that, though, about
well,
Ken.
What we just started with, how do you know if you've asked enough questions, was what you asked.
Yeah.
And I have a number of answers for that. First of all, if you're not used to asking questions, you can assume that you're not asking enough. And part of our work is helping people develop what I call an inquiring mindset. In other words, that questions come more naturally and quickly to them than answers. And that in itself is a challenge in this world that is moving faster and faster, whatever size organization you're in. And people are more impatient with questions, and they are more prone to just give me the answer and give it to me now. That desire is understandable. Unfortunately, it puts people in a position of ready, fire, aim rather than ready, aim, fire. So I am a very big advocate of taking the time up front to surface questions and create questions because it saves so many breakdowns along the way. So that's the first answer. You assume that you're not asking enough and that cultivating an inquiring mindset in general is a powerful, sort of ubiquitously powerful thing to do. Secondly, get other people to ask questions with you. So if you're starting out a business or if you have a business idea and you really care about it and you want to develop it, assume that you are not come up with all of the questions or enough of the questions that you need to be successful. So get a coach, get a mastermind group, get a bunch of friends over lunch and tell them what you're thinking about and have them help your thinking by contributing questions. So some of those questions would be ones they would ask you, and that would be very helpful, and some of those questions might be ones that they recommend that you ask yourself, and that would be question thinking. But I would not rely on myself alone in moving a big idea forward, because one person never has all the perspectives and experiences needed to be ultimately successful.
Oh, boy, I thank you for saying that, because that's exactly what I wrote about. I wrote a book called Hey, That's My Idea. And it's real, basically how to get ideas out of heads and into action. And the first couple of steps I talk about are, actually, I use a term called idea storming, and that's one person asking another person just a series of questions. And I know you refer to something called cue storming when I was reading that in your book, and I thought, that sounds similar, asking lots of questions to pull a lot of information out.
Well, Q-storming is a little different than that. Let's talk about your idea thing first, and then we'll go to Q-storming.
Okay.
When you talk about pulling ideas out of people's heads, I would not assume that those ideas are all well-formed or thought through. Sometimes they're just a hint or a possibility, or they're partial. So it's not just, quote, pulling ideas out of people's heads. It's helping them formulate, articulate, and make clear their ideas. And so, and I think that is often the first stage of what a coach would do when coming up, when helping a client come up with their goals. Sometimes these things are vague, and it's very important to take time up front to look at all the different dimensions and the possibilities and the articulation of it, because without that, there is no firm place for action thinking to occur.
Exactly.
And I've had millions of ideas. And one of the most important things that ever occurred to me was that I didn't have to do all of them. And because if you are an idea generator like I am, and you think you have to do all of them, you know, you're exhausted before you start. And it doesn't position you for finding the golden idea that you really want to organize everything around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you're exactly right. I'd say 90% of the people who I work with, maybe they'll go down to 80, don't have a firm idea form. That they know they have 3 or 4 or 10, and we have to filter down to which ones can actually be worked on and put resources and money and time towards. So,
and which ones have a real nugget of something worthwhile, and that also are important enough that make them passionate enough that they'll go the distance, because fulfilling something takes a lot. And, you know, it's very nice if the inspiration can help fuel your enthusiasm and the implementation. And if it's not something important enough to you, then it's going to be very hard to fulfill that.
Yep. All right. I'm going to have to take a couple minutes break, but to be a sort of a teaser for where I want to go next, you've got a lot of other concepts in the book that I know we can't cover them all, and nor should we, because, you know, people need to come to you for something. But I do want to explore how do we go from answer people, which is a term you call it answer man, but I'll say answer people, because we're business owners, and we're coaches, and we're consultants and leaders, and we're supposed to know it all, just like Ben in the story. So how do we go from this answer person to a question person? And then let's examine your concept of the learner-judger, which I thought was a very important concept, and we'll move on from there. So
wonderful.
I'll let you noodle on that for a couple of minutes, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Sylvia Henderson on the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
If you're an entrepreneur or business owner who needs to sort your thoughts out and get things done, then keep listening. This message is for you. You've got to get your ideas out of your head and into action for profit and purpose. Now, Sylvia Henderson and the IdeaSuccessNetwork.com are who you need to help you be in action and turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. What are you waiting for? If you want to make more money, then end your overthinking and underdoing with Sylvia's Idea Success Notes, tips and strategies for implementing your ideas. There's a bonus thank you gift waiting for you, too. Don't waste another minute. Go to IdeaSuccessNetwork.com, enter your name and email address, and get your bi-monthly Idea Success Notes for moving your ideas into action now.
And we're back, and this is Sylvia Henderson, and I'm speaking with my guest, Dr. Marilee Adams, author of Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. Marilee, welcome back.
Well, thank you, and thank you for setting up this segment with that very good summary that you did beforehand. So let me continue with this, since we were talking about question thinking and how powerful and important it is. And I'll say that there are two success factors to question thinking. One is questioning, which we've already touched on, and the other is mindset. So let's go to the mindset aspect and sort of dive into that, because in many ways the mindset work and the question work go together, and oftentimes mindset is more determining of what happens than the questions are. So you mentioned, Sylvia,
yes,
the learner and judger mindset. And so I'd like to share with our listeners what I mean by that, and then I'm going to give you all an experience of the two mindsets. And Sylvia, I will ask you for, when I debrief that, I'll ask you for your feedback, and you're going to represent everybody. Okay?
Oh, I am everybody. Okay.
And then I'll add in some things, because I've done this often with many people. So I think that it's very useful for us to understand that we all have two mindsets. One of them is more positive and optimistic, and the other one is more pessimistic and focused on concerns and problems. And it's important that we all have both. You really wouldn't want to have just one, because we need all of those functions in order to be successful. What turns into an issue for people, though, is they don't most of the time know which mindset they're operating from. So I'm going to tell you that the mindsets that we're in, or that we're operating from at any moment, are also expressions of the questions we ask ourselves. That's question thinking. And that our mindsets are expressions of our questions, and our questions are expressions of our mindsets. So I'm going to do a very quick exercise, so that Sylvia, you and our listeners can have an experience of that. And the way I'll do that is by reciting two sets of questions, and for you simply to notice the impact of those questions. So by impact, I mean, how do the questions affect your mood, your self-confidence, your physiology, your body, your breathing? And I'm going to do both sets of questions, then I will ask you about the impact, and then I'll talk to you about the learner and judger mindsets.
Okay.
So, here's the first set of questions. Please listen to them as if you were asking them of yourself, and I will state them in first person singular. What's wrong with me? Why do I always have such bad luck? How did I get stuck with this problem, this person, this sometimes spouse, sometimes kid, sometimes in-law? Why is everyone around me so clueless and frustrating? Haven't we already been there, done that? Why bother? So, Sylvia, how did those questions impact you?
I'm sitting here thinking, boy, those are downers. It's all about me in a way. They're kind of downers. I'm like, ugh. My entire body just sank down with, this is just such bad luck over and over and over again. How miserable.
So your body sank down, you felt down, and
there was okay.
And your mood was one. The impact of those questions had a mood. It's really going to be hard to get anything done.
Yeah.
I'm putting words.
Well, okay. You can put those words in. I know people who think that way almost all the time, and I don't want to be around them.
Well, here's the thing. We all think that way some of the time. So take a few breaths because you want to change state and be available for the next set of questions.
Oh, my gosh. So you're saying even I think those things. Yes, I guess you're right. Okay.
Yes, I do. If you're human, you do.
Yeah, you're
okay,
right.
Okay, so here is the second set of questions. What do I want? What is useful about this situation? What's valuable about what happened? What can I learn from it? What do other people want and need? So what are they thinking, feeling, and wanting? What steps forward make the best sense, and what's possible?
Okay, those are way more uplifting. I actually sat up a little straighter. Their possibilities, that kind of a reaction. There could be something more to this kind of a feeling.
There's a future, and a future that you can impact. So with the second set of questions, you had a physiological reaction. You sat up straighter. I'm going to assume, also meant that your curiosity was roused and that you were thinking about the future and what was possible. So in the first set of questions, let's go back to them for a minute.
Let me interrupt you briefly. Are both, just for dramatic effect, are both sets of questions asking about the same situation?
Well, what's interesting, Sylvia, is that those questions are content-free.
Ah.
And I've done this exercise literally with thousands and thousands of people all over the world, and the response is practically identical. Because, see, the questions that we ask affect our moods and affect our thinking and affect our ability and desire to take action. So let's check that out. Go back to the first set of questions. What's wrong with me? Why do I have all the bad luck, et cetera, et cetera? And did those questions give you energy or take it away?
They sapped it. They took it away.
And your self-confidence, did it give you more or less self-confidence?
Not sure I dug that far in that minute or so, but yeah, I could see where it would take away self-confidence because, you know, I'm the problem. It's just, you know, there's just tons of problems that are coming across, and why should I even do anything? Why should I even move? That's what I'm feeling.
Okay, don't stay there too long.
Those same questions,
did they make you want to be with people and to empower and partner and collaborate with people?
Nope. Makes me feel like I'm going to go in my little hole, in my little closet, and not talk to anybody.
Okay. So take another deep breath because we're going to walk over to the other questions.
Good thing I'm normally cheerful. So, okay, let's go.
So in the second set of questions, what do I want? What's useful? What can I learn from this? Did those questions, what happened to your energy, up or down?
Up, yes. It was like, ooh, this is exciting. There's possibilities. Let's go explore.
Okay, great. And your self-confidence, up or down?
Up.
Up?
Yes, up.
And your desire to be with people, to partner, collaborate, empower, up or down?
Well, interesting. Well, up. An interesting terminology. I'm aware of the words I just used when I said it made me feel like, let's go explore the possibilities. So let's usually implies, ooh, let me go reach out to somebody and go and do this together. Whereas the other one was, oh, it's me.
So you just gave us a beautiful example of the power of questions. Thank you. These questions are content-free, and what you just illustrated is that the structure of the question itself either tilts you towards being, in the first case, negative and pessimistic, and in the second place, optimistic and thinking in terms of possibility in the future. And remember, the questions are content-free. We all ask both sets of questions. And thank you, Sylvia, for saying that you do. So do all of us. So given that we all ask these questions, it's logical to then say, why is this important? And the reason it's important is because our questions orchestrate our moods and our energy and our desire and ability to move forward. And if we're asking questions that take that away, it doesn't matter what great ideas you have or what questions, other questions you ask about them. The mindset will get in that way. So if we don't recognize the questions that are pulling the strings of our mood and our energy, then we can't do anything about it. And that's why this is important. The first set of questions I call judge your questions, and that's judge your mindset. The second set of questions is learner questions, learner mindset. We all ask both. And what this allows you to do, all of us, is begin to examine the questions that are pulling the strings of our mood and our energy and our possibilities. Usually, the questions are kind of random, and we don't have any access to being able to figure out what questions we're asking and what questions we should be asking. When you can discern the two sets of questions, at that moment, you develop a beginning awareness about the questions that are affecting you in the moment and you in practically every moment of your life. That begins to give you the power to choose the questions that are going to be most proactive and productive and satisfying. I do want to say that judge your mindset has an important function, and we need judge your mindset. So I don't want anybody who's listening to say, oh, I think I'll just get rid of my judge your mindset. First of all, you can't. We are hardwired for it. Neurologically, that's the part of us that is there for our survival, and we all right. need that. You do not want to have a car with gas and no brakes. We need our judge your mindset. It gets in the way when we do it too much. Huh. But we all yeah. need it. And we need our learner mindset, and we need to cultivate our learner mindset because it will make a difference everywhere. And what makes a difference also is learning to ask switching questions. Once you're aware you're in judger, what questions can you ask that will help lift you out of judger and into learner, and how to cultivate that? So because this is a radio show, your listeners cannot visualize the choice map. I'm going to describe it, but it helps to understand and organize your thinking around this material, and also helps tremendously in keeping ourselves from going all the way into judger and in how to get out of it. And one of the things, Sylvia, we talked about this before the show, that we're making available to your listeners is that they can go to our website, which is www.inquiryinstitute.com, I-N-Q-U-I-R-Y, institute.com, and with the code that you'll supply them later, Sylvia, they can yeah. download a copy of this. We typically charge for it, but for listeners of your program, with the disc, with the code, they can just download it. So the
Whoa,
choice,
great.
It is great.
Great,
and
because I've seen the color picture, and it's a nice chart. And if you're listening to this program, and you're near your computer, you, I believe, can go to the website now and actually see it while Dr. Adams is talking.
That's true. The discount, the code is not set up yet, but it will be today,
right,
later on.
But the chart is there, so they can see it.
The choice map, in a way, is a visual summary of Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, and the book itself is an elaboration of the choice map. So it looks almost cartoonish, and there are two paths on there. One is the learner mindset path, and one is the judger mindset path. And then there are figures who are moving along the paths. One path, the paths start at the left side of the map. The learner mindset path moves upwards to the right,
yes,
towards a sun and the mountains, and the judger mindset path moves down to the right, curves around, and ends up in what we now call the famous judger pit. And every human being I've ever met has spent some time there in the judger pit. I know I have. And in fact, I created this whole system to help me move out of judger and into learner. It then turned out to be really useful for other people too. And what's also on the map is the switching lane, so that once you recognize you're in judger, and I mean that you recognize that non-judgmentally, which is vital, then you can ask switching questions that help you move from one mindset to the other. And switching questions would include, well, first of all, am I in judger? And then, do I want to be feeling what I'm feeling? Do I want to be doing what I'm doing? How else can I think about that? And as soon as you ask those questions that are curiosity and future-focused questions, they begin to make an immediate shift in your mood. Sometimes it happens that you shift into learner right away. Sometimes it takes longer because we are not just cognitive beings. We are also neurochemical beings, and it takes us a while sometimes. But the focus of our thinking and the focus of our attention are very determining of what mood we'll be in, how wide our thinking will be, whether we will think about all the questions we ought to be thinking about in a particular area. And taking the learner mindset path, which is where choice lives, is very, very powerful. It means we make thoughtful choices, that we're solution-focused, and that in terms of relating, we're focused on win-win. The opposite is true in judger, and that is more reactive, automatic, it's blame-focused, and in the moment of being in judger, remember, we all go there from time to time, we are in win-lose moments. I think it's obvious which mindset is going to help people discover their ideas, elaborate on their ideas, vet their ideas, figure out which ones to turn into goals and what questions need to be asked about them, and then to begin getting into action to implement them.
So what I heard in the last few minutes then is that this choice map is a tool, and it's in your book as well as, you know, at your website, but it's a tool. What I'm getting from this is that first, that allows me to be aware, number one, of where my mindset is. That's bad English, but, you know, whether I'm in the judging mindset or a learner mindset. And if I am in a judging mindset, it sounds like it gives me a way to kind of go, how do I get out of this, or how do I think differently, and then kind of make my choice to switch up to the learner mindset?
That's accurate. And if you are working with a team or with a group of friends, it's really helpful for everybody to share these ideas and to become more and more capable of noticing judger, asking switching, and then actually switching into learning, into learner, because it is from that mindset where we are most resourceful, where we're most flexible, where we're most collaborative, where we have most options. And every idea and every business needs to be functioning there in order to be successful.
And now that you say that, you're right. The energy level, when we're pop, 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 really hitting all four cylinders, and the ideas and the details about the ideas are flowing, and the questions are possibility focused. You're right. There's an energy level that, which is what I love actually about the work that I do with people, is feel that energy. So wow, now you've given a new definition or a new terminology to that.
Right. And then when you think about judger, sometimes people use terms like inner critic. Inner critics can be useful. I mean, they may have some interesting and useful information. It's just a question of what mood you take them in and what you think it means. But if we stay in judger, or if a team stays in judger, or a whole small business, because the map, while it's drawn for one individual with the two mindsets that all individuals have, it also, I've used this for literally days of working with teams and with executive teams. It's remarkable how useful it is. Judger turns out to put issues and speed bumps into the process and to take energy away rather than to help build it in a positive direction.
And how do people, you've got so many other tools, you've got a lot of other tools in the book. There's not enough time to hit them all or hit too many more, but I want to make sure before people check out here, how do people get your book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, and say again how they reach you?
Okay. The easiest way to get the book is just to go to Amazon, and you'll find it there. You can just put in my name, Marilee Adams, or the name of the book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, and it will come up, and it's in paperback. It's also available in a large print version, and it's also, there's an audio book of it. So getting the book is very easy. Getting the choice map, you'll have to make available, Sylvia, on your website, the code that we'll give you.
Yep.
And people are also very welcome to come to my website, or our website for the business, the company, which is www.inquiryinstitute.com. And it would be great if people signed up for the newsletter and learning community, because we are frequently updating the website with resources and interviews with different people, including, as you mentioned, Marshall Goldsmith. There's an interview on there with him. So if people sign up on the website, then they will be part of the ongoing list and get my blogs and all kinds of cool things. And you can also email me through the website, so that makes it really easy. And I should mention that we do in-person courses. There's a one-day course, a two-day course, the Change Your Questions, Change Your Results Basics, and Change Your Questions, Change Your Results Advanced. There's also a Chief Question Officer course, which is longer, for coaches and consultants who work in organizations, either as internal or external. And that towards the end of this year, we'll also have an e-learning product that people can purchase and have an experience of that helps people fortify their learning mindset and how to make best use of it in multiple different situations.
And to access all of that is all through your Inquiry Institute website.
Correct.
And I presume they can reach out and ask you questions about that.
They can. And so I think would send it just simply, I think there's an info at inquiryinstitute.com, and they will come to me and to someone else who can also answer some questions. And we would love for people to do that.
So now here's a question. With all that there still is to talk about, and we are running out of time, here's my question that I love asking people. What question have I not asked you that would yield, I don't know, last words, yield the last thing you would like listeners to leave with?
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a couple of quick answers, and I have, what, 3 or 4 minutes left? Or do I have that much?
Yeah, you have, because
In any moment, and I really do mean in any moment. In fact, the choice map says we choose moment by moment. In any moment, you could be asking yourself what mindset you're in and what questions you can ask. So what I'm going to do, Sylvia, is tell people the five questions. This is actually from the book Teaching That Changes Lives, but these are really useful questions for people to ask themselves. So the first,
these are context or content neutral, I guess, is what the word.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Which means you can use them anywhere all the time. So what happened and what do I want? Am I in learner mindset or judger mindset right now? Am I listening with learner ears or judger ears? What assumptions am I making? And who do I choose to be in this moment?
Say them again. Say them again.
Okay. What happened and what do I want is in the beginning. Let's make the assumptions question number two. What assumptions am I making about what just happened and myself and the other person? Am I in learner mindset or judger mindset right now? Am I listening with learner ears or judger ears? And given all of that, who do I choose to be in this moment?
That last one is curiouser, but we don't have too much time to explore that one. Who do I choose to be in the moment? You mean, do I choose to be the judger, or do I choose to be the learner, or is it deeper than that?
Well, that's pretty deep, actually.
Okay.
Do I choose to be self-focused, or do I choose to be other-focused, situation-focused, generative, generous, open?
Okay.
Those are very important questions. And to realize that we actually have that choice in every moment, on the one hand, can be daunting, and on the other hand, is very liberating. And it means that whatever happened in the past moment, we can choose newly in this moment. And
this
it will depend
like,
on the questions we ask and the mindset from which we ask them.
This is like the soap operas on TV, say the best for the cliffhanger. You know, so you gave us five questions that we can ask ourselves at the very end. So this is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And final word. What final closing? The final quote, final something you want for the last thing we hear from your voice?
Do I have a minute?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a serious question because I can choose from some different quotes.
Yes, I've scheduled slightly over the hour, so yes.
Okay, I'm going to give you a quote from Einstein, and then I'm going to repeat one from before. So he said, "If I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended upon the solution, I would spend the first 55 minutes determining the proper questions to ask. For if I knew the proper questions, I could solve that problem in less than 5 minutes."
Now, that's ironic considering we're talking about an hour program. Okay.
All right. And so then to remember that great results begin with great questions and keep asking.
Thank you so much for being my guest today, Dr. Marilee Adams. And listeners, make sure you get, number one, the download or the copy of the choice map when I have the code for you. And make sure you get a copy of that book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. I am so honored to have had you as my guest today. And Marilee, I wish you the best.
Well, thank you. Take care.
That wraps up another hour of Ideas Success with Sylvia, with information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Join me next week, same dot time, same dot channel, same dot number, for another episode of Ideas Success with Sylvia.